Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's June 20th, 2014. You're listening to the best PokerCast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
Do you feel a little dirty by saying it's June 20th?
I don't feel dirty at all. I know you do, but what we are doing here
it's a ruse.
Is making sure that our loyal listeners are not missing us while you're gallivanting around here. It's a little unorthodox, but sometimes that's what you have to do to make the people you love happy.
All right, so now I'm recommending that they wait till June 20th to download the show.
Well, now they're listening. They've already downloaded.
Yeah. And so if you didn't, the reason I'm getting to it is if you didn't wait until June 20th, like if it's June 12th and you're listening to this show, don't listen to the other ones until the day. Let us live vicariously through your listening experience, and just know that you treated it like every. You know, I'm gonna have to upload them all on one day. And I'm going to feel bad about that because when you see it on the actual feed, it's going to be like five shows in one day or whatever. Maybe I'll try to
stagger. Those guys are bored.
But yeah, exactly. So I'm hoping that people just say, oh, it's my time to listen to Ante Up this week. Let me get the next show that's on the feed. And they sort of do it that way rather than binge, like you say. I'm hoping that there are some people who don't binge. I don't want to lose anybody on this. So I'm hoping they actually download it on the day that they're supposed to. What about you? You hope they binge, right?
No, I'm going to say this is kind of like the you're like the little angel on one shoulder,
and
I'm going to be the devil on the other one. I'm going to say binge.
Okay, that's what I figured. You like
cancel
the idea of the binge.
Cancel all your meetings and listen to all five shows at once.
So I don't know, as we mentioned on last week's show, and I'll be doing a lot of air quotes in my office today that no one will know I'm doing, but we talked about saying, hey, you know, we don't really know how we're going to do these five shows or what we're going to say or what we're going to do.
Yeah, I guess we should start by just telling, in case people come to this out of the blue, that you're on vacation for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah.
We are replaying classic episodes as voted by our listeners. Loyal listeners.
Yeah.
But rather than just phoning it in and replaying them, we're freshing them up with new comments and recollections of those shows.
Yeah, and I don't know if we're going to tell everybody. And that's the other thing, too. We should probably discuss this on the show now. I mean, how should I label these shows when I upload them? So should I just say, hey, it's been show one, find out what the episode was? Or are we not surprising them?
I would say second look at and the show name.
Okay. So they're going to know right away what shows won and earn their way into the top five.
Yeah, that's true, too, if they want to, yeah.
So I might put the dates on there. I might say a second.
Remember, we have to think that the show's going to go on for 20, 30, 40 years.
That's true.
When you look back at that point, people aren't going to understand what we're doing at that point, so it has to be for them. So if it's a momentary inconvenience for our bingers this time, that's just the price you pay for being podcast listeners.
So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to put the topic in the description. I'm going to say a look back at our show from...
Ah, there you go.
And then a date. And then I'm not going to say anything else. And then the description is going to say something very similar. So without telling anybody what this show is, it comes from June 15th, 2005. Have you figured out what the show is? It's our first show.
It seems very likely that this could have been our first show.
Yes. I mean, 9 years ago, we sat down and said, all right, this is going to be our ticket out of this building. I know we're sitting next to a microwave, and I know we got people warming up their lean cuisines next to us, but eventually this is going to pay off for us, Scott. We're gonna ride this out of this hellhole and into another whole hellhole, but one that we're in charge of. So
We did it. This is our first show ever.
See, that's what's really interesting about this is why I like to refresh it and look back on our memories of this, because I had no designs on this being a meal ticket out of there for us. So the fact that you did was amazing. And then I think it's funny that 3 years later I was like, oh, hey, you want to start a magazine, yep, a Twitter job? So I just take 3 years longer than you do to come up with the ideas. So.
Well, you know, I don't think I had it as a meal ticket. I thought it was a meal ticket out of the mundane stuff we were doing there.
There we go. Yeah.
You know, I didn't think for any reason that we... I thought it was going to be a cool job for me and you to do and maybe, like, relieve some of the crap that we were doing with the other departments. But I had no idea that we were going to all of a sudden, you know, leave there and start our own sort of media giant empire kind of thing. But, yeah, hard to believe that this got us there, too, when you listen to it. When you guys hear this show, if you've never heard it, you're in for not a treat.
And what's funny is you're thinking about this is our way out of the mundane. What I was thinking is I have no idea what a podcast is. And I'm scared to death. We're just going to talk about poker and people are going to listen to us? What are you talking about?
Yeah, and you can tell, too, by listening to the voice that that's exactly what you're thinking.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was invited to speak at a seminar a couple weeks ago. Journalists looking to transition to new careers or new parts of journalism, right? And so I was telling them this story that, you know, hey, somebody came to us and said, hey, do you want to do a podcast? And my first question was, what's a podcast? And then, all right, whatever. And so my lesson to him was never say no when someone gives you something because you're scared that you don't know what it is.
Yes.
Just go do it. What's the worst thing could happen? You mangle pot odds? No. That would never happen. So, I really had no idea what it was. And as we talk a little bit more before we actually replay the show here, we'll see that we had no idea really how big this thing could become at that time. But but I'm glad I said yes.
Yeah, and the way it got started was basically we had this young guy who came in from a rival company, and he was always fresh, full of ideas. He had his finger on the pulse of technology and things that were going on. And even though podcasts probably had been around for a little while at that point, very few people actually knew what they were, unless you were tech savvy or whatever. So he like walks into the. I had just taken over one of the positions at the fresh, funky weekly TBT, the snarky little news thing, and they were like, "Hey, because we're on at that point, we're on the same level as the, floor as the web people. So we interacted with the web people like every 5 minutes. They were right. Like two doors down." And so they always walk by our office, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, hey, TBT, you guys are fresh and hip and blah, blah, blah. You want to do a podcast? And so when he finally explained to us what it was, I was like, wow. Because first he was like, it's just a show talking about stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. But I did have a little broadcast training when I was in college. I started out to be a broadcast journalist. And I was like, wow, this could be cool. Maybe I could get into doing some broadcasting again. And then he said, is there any topic you're passionate about? And that was it. I'm like, all right, Scott Long and I are doing this. Because it was our home game. We were always talking about poker. And that was it. You know, it was like, and you wrote the column at the time. You wrote a betting column for TBT.
That's right, yeah.
So it was like a natural thing. You know, you and I were always interacting about our poker game, but also, you know, this column when we edited or designed it or whatever it was. So it was just a natural. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to go in. So I literally went, like, 5 minutes after that, I went downstairs and saw you. And I was like, hey. You want to do this? And then you were kind of like, what? What's a podcast? So, and I didn't, you know, I for some reason too, I always thought they called it podcast because of an iPod.
Yeah.
It listed on the iPod, you know, I didn't really think of it as a pod, like you're in a pod or whatever.
That would be awesome. Yeah. If I knew we were in a pod, then I would have said body, yes immediately.
Body snatchers, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, that's basically how I got started. This guy just walks into our office and says, you want to do one? And I'm like, I don't know what one is, but if it gets me out of here for an hour a day or whatever, yes. So, that's how it started, you know, and we weren't very savvy. That's for sure. And they picked like the worst spot to record the show.
Oh my gosh, brutal!
And I don't think it was. We have here in the notes we have Brendan, but was it Brendan? I thought Adrian did the first one with us. Brendan did them later when they hired him as an intern. I thought.
Oh, that could have been yeah.
But I'm not sure now. See, it's so long ago, 9 years.
I'm pretty sure it was Brendan. I could
was
be
it
wrong.
Brendan? Okay, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And they sit us down at a desk, and we're like, All right. Well, it's not like there's egg cartons on the wall for the sound. And, you know, I mean, this is pretty hollow here, but all right, whatever. We don't know what the hell we're doing anyway, so who are we to judge where we're sitting? But then as we got in the middle of the show or whatever, we realized it was a horrible spot, but we didn't have anything better because people were walking up to a microwave. And they're throwing in their, like, leftover Chinese food from the night before, their lean cuisines, and it's like, ding, slam, ding, punch, punch, code, no, do, 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 do. Sound like R2-D2 is standing behind you.
And for 30 seconds at a time, they're just staring at us like, yeah, what are like, these idiots doing? What? I'm like, as if we weren't under enough pressure. I had no idea what a podcast was. I'm a print journalist. I'm not an audio journalist. And now I've got, you know, some intern that's heating up the Marie calendar for the day, mocking me because we're bumbling around talking about poker for 5 minutes.
And it was so amazing how quickly it all turned around, though. People went from looking at us like we're idiots to, like, totally being jealous or envious because they were like, wow, you guys get to take like an hour out of the week and go, and they built a studio for you, and that's how it progressed, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was doing some voiceovers for like news pieces, and
right, yeah.
I was totally getting out of the office, and it was like we had some sort of celebrity going for a little while there. They were doing commercials with us in them and stuff. It was pretty wild. I felt like the times embraced us with that after that, but they also kind of didn't embrace us. So it was kind of one of six of one, half dozen of the other. But
yeah, you definitely have a voice for print. So, so the first day, I think I don't know. I'm sure we talked about this at some point over the last 9 years, but I don't think a lot of people really realize because we did the show, right? Mm-hmm. And people are going to listen to it here in a minute. But we had the one topic that we had talked about, and then we did some kind of lame hand of the week, I think, right?
Yeah.
And so we got done 5 minutes, and I'm like, all right, that's a wrap, right? I'm looking for the green room table, the craft services, and have some lunch, right?
The red M&Ms.
And Brendan's like, all right, that was good. Let's do it again. Yeah. Do what again? And he's like, yeah, let's do another take. I think you could do a little bit better. I'm like, okay, so we did the show again, and I'm like, all right, done, see ya. Let's try it again. And I think it was at least three. I think it might have been four takes before.
Yeah, but was it the whole show?
It was the whole show.
It was the whole show.
Beginning to the end. Oh, and so what was funny about it is, I mean, now we never do anything over. You know, we just, you know, if we make a mistake, we just laugh on air and go on, or we might do some like surgery or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But so what was good about it, I guess, is we got into a rhythm more every time, right? Which I guess is what he was getting at. What we lost, though, was kind of the spontaneity of it, right? So, you know, and people are going to hear this, too, and I know I've talked about this on the show before. I had this Bert and Ernie joke planned from the beginning. That was going to be my calling card for my first show, right? And by the time we're on the 18th take of this thing, it was a little laborious to come out with this Bert and Ernie thing, and I think it fell flat because of that.
Not only that, but the saddest part of all this is that we did four or five takes, and the show you're listening to was the best one, and it was horrible. That's the worst part about it. We did this four or five times, and that was the best we could come up with. I mean, we literally defined monotone. At least you did. I can't remember. I think I was monotone, too. I don't know. But we just sounded like, hi, I'm Grizz Gazenda, and I'm Scott Long, and we're here to do the show. And you're going to find out in a minute just how monotone we are. But what's really remarkable on top of it all is that from that horrible effort, we got immediate reaction.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we were getting emails within a month from people from all over the world. And I'm like, we've only done like two or three shows and people are contacting us already. How'd they even find us?
And they were bad shows, too. But people were listening to because no one else was really doing poker podcasts at that time. And it was almost even a stretch to say we were.
No, exactly.
And 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, I think we got to the point, oh my God, that's a 15-minute show. This is crazy.
And it took us forever to get on iTunes.
So yeah, that's right.
That immediate reaction came strictly from our website and people probably typing in poker and podcast and getting it through the RSS. You know, they found it somehow through that feed. And it's just remarkable to me that people even, before we knew it, we had guys saying, hey, we know Jennifer Harmon. You want to have her on your show? And I'm like, what? This is crazy. So it was really, you know, you get that immediate satisfaction from the internet. I mean, it's remarkable how far we reached with this horrible 5 minutes or 6 minutes of a show, whatever it was. Absolutely crazy.
Well, again, when I speak to classes about this too, this is what I tell them. I'm like, you can't even fathom how quickly stuff spreads on the internet now. I mean, I know you know, everybody talks about, you know, don't be careful what you post on Facebook or Twitter because it's out there, it's going everywhere. This is, we're going back to 05, right? This is before Facebook and Twitter. So this was really before most podcasts were out there. And it was just amazing how, you know, somebody hears it and says, hey, listen to these guys. And then they pass it on to the next guys. And at some point, I don't know why we quit counting, but at some point, we finally hit listeners in every state. So I quit counting at that point, right?
Yeah.
More states. But it had to be more than 35 countries. For some reason, in my mind, I keep saying 35. But when we quit counting that, I don't know why we quit. But who knows how many countries we've actually had listeners in. But that's just it's amazing. Remember we had that cab driver from Denmark?
Yep.
Used to write in all the time. He had really trouble writing English, but we could understand him. And, you know, I can't read or write Danish at all, so he's still my hero.
Yeah.
Listen to the cab. I mean, it was just stories like that. We had guys that sent in pictures from Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were giving them a little brief oasis from, you know, the worst days of their lives there for it. And all because of the internet. You know, there's absolutely no marketing other than what, you know, the newspaper did itself. And that was it. That was it. So.
Yeah,
really cool.
That's the stuff that made me feel really good, and how amazed I was at the internet at that point. I mean, you knew what the internet was, you've used it, but I mean, just to know that, you know, people all over the world were listening to you, and a lot of them were saying, "Hey, you guys brighten up my week," or whatever. You make me laugh, and some of it was because of how terrible we were. And of course, we'll get into that in the other shows that we're gonna be doing here. But you know, for me, it was really rewarding to because you got that. You know, how many years were we behind the scenes at the newspapers?
Yeah.
And they have no clue. They say, what do you do at the Times? And you're like, I'm an editor. And they're like, oh, so, you know, do you get to go to the games? No, I'm an editor. Oh, what exactly do you do? And they don't get it, but if your name and your face is on your story, then they get you. So to finally get some people to appreciate what we're doing, it was nice to finally get that after 15 years of being behind the scenes and no one knowing how hard we worked, you know, or what we were doing. So it was nice to actually make a difference, and people knew it was us making a difference. It was kind of cool.
And then, obviously, people noticing us, we got so excited when we started winning some awards. I mean, it certainly wasn't an Oscar or anything on that level, but, you know, then we could go to the boss and say, hey, look, we won something.
Yeah.
And so I think it was like, Reader's Choice. And then, of course, they conveniently bumped us off the ballot once we started our own magazine. But And our good friend Chicago, Jason of the Chicago Poker Club, they showed us a lot of love by voting us best podcast a couple years, I think, at least. And then some other mentions on the podcast awards and things like that. And
iTunes so that was made nice. Us featured a couple of times.
Oh, that's right.
Too.
We were featured on iTunes once.
That was cool.
And what's interesting is that we never tried to, you know, win awards. It's funny because in journalism, that's one of my big beef with a lot of journalists is they try to win awards. You know, they write these stories that no one reads, but judges love them. And I don't think we ever did that. So it was nice to kind of get that organic kind of recognition and then tell people, hey, the award-winning Antioch PokerCast. They could never take that away from us, right?
That's right.
No matter how many times we screw up pot odds.
That's right. And it wasn't that we were above begging them to vote for us, because we did do that a few times. We're like, hey, don't forget to vote for us, and we're trying to win something here. But it didn't matter, because by asking them to vote for us and by us winning, it showed how strong our show was with the listenership. You know what I mean? It showed that we had a lot of listeners that could sway a contest and stuff, so that was really cool too. But yeah, I loved being the Chicago Poker Guys voting us, and a few years running too, so that was always cool. And I took it as a huge compliment that Bluff said, all right, we're not putting them in the show, and because I think we won it twice. I think we won it once and they recognized us, and then we won it again. And we were also mentioned in Deal Magazine that time. They had a nice little
photo
in our show and saying that we were like the best poker show out there and stuff. You got to listen to these guys if you want to listen to, you know, sort of snarky poker or whatever. So that was kind of cool, too, to be mentioned in a magazine. At the time, we weren't in a magazine, obviously. We were just doing it at the time. So, yeah, that was really cool. And, you know, like, I think one of the things you have here on is it's the one thing that we've always never stopped doing, you know, with the show, with the magazine now. You know, I mean, it's like the magazine's taken some turns. It's gone from statewide to regional-wide to half the country to the full country, and we've gotten some writers to a ton of writers to, you know, different things in different paths and different ventures. But the one constant has always been our show for the last, 6.5 years or whatever. And it's still going. 9 years, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been like that Wilson, like, or Wilson Volleyball. It's always been there, I think, for us, you know, because when we, and I tell folks this all the time, because the show has changed, obviously. Our listeners from day one know. I mean, that, you know, it was 5-10 minutes then it bloomed to 2 hours some weeks. Now it's back to an hour. We have different features and stuff. But you know, when we quit the jobs and started the magazine, obviously it was very, very difficult for those first couple months, or even year for that month. And then one or 2 hours a week where we did the show felt like home.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what else what was going on. So, and then after that, then it adjusted where it kind of helped us with get a couple ad deals. I mean, we never really ever made money off this thing, which is kind of amazing that we're still doing it for 9 years. Yeah. Which just shows how much we like doing it. But it kind of helped us with some other business deals. And now to the point where, you know, hey, I'm going to Italy for 5 weeks. I guess we got to skip the show. Oh, no, we don't. Give me a day or two. I'll figure out a way around this.
I will admit that I've been trying to sabotage the show a little bit in the recent ones, just because I think it needs to end at some point, and so why not have a logical streak? Not the show end, but the streak. And Scott just won't let me do it, so I'm going to, like fall down a ditch somewhere someday, intentionally, just so see.
Yeah, Paso will join me, and I'll figure out how to upload it, all that stuff.
Yeah, you'll have to figure out how to break into my house and do it, because this is where it all happens. The magic all happens right here.
You got to hope I get in some kind of, like, you know, bus walker scooter accident or something.
I pray for it every night, buddy.
And I can't talk. I can blink.
So, Scott, would you check Gray's here? Blink twice if yes. Blink. All right, so Scott says he blinks twice, so that means he would check Gray's. And what's really funny is we've been talking for 21 minutes about this, and the show is only 6 minutes long. So we've talked about a show that's only 6 minutes long, three times as long as the show. So I think without further ado, here we go. Here is a classic look at our first show ever, Has Poker Plateaued?
Hey, everybody out there. I'd like to welcome you to Ante Up. It's a weekly poker podcast coming to you from the offices of TBT and the St. Petersburg Times. I am Chris Cosenza.
And I am Scott Long. We'll be discussing everything poker on this show, and since this is our first podcast, let's let our listeners know a little bit about ourselves. I've been playing poker for about 3 years, about seriously, and try to play as often as I can. Vegas, online, other places. I also write a monthly column called Bet On It that appears on the last Wednesday of every month in TBT. And Chris?
I've been playing poker my whole life, but I have to admit I'm one of the bandwagoners jumping on most recently when it got popular on television, and now I'm taking it seriously. I play every day, play online, play at the local places, play home games, things like that. Studied up on it and really enjoy it. I'm a real avid poker fan. Our show is going to be dedicated to poker, and it's hopefully going to give you a better understanding of the game, maybe help make you a better player. And for the most part, we're going to talk about Texas Hold'em, since that's what everyone is playing these days.
But occasionally we'll also touch on Omaha, Omaha High-Low, and Stud, and other forms of poker. But this week we're not going to be talking about one specific game. We're just going to talk about the popularity of poker and whether or not it's plateaued. What do you think, Chris?
You know, I don't think it's possible for it to have plateaued yet, especially when you consider all of the cable and television stations that are carrying it. I mean, just off top of my head, all the ESPNs, FSN, NBC, Travel Channel, E, Bravo. I mean, even the Speed Channel has it, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I think at some point you're going to run across PBS and see Big Bird take down a big pot from Cookie Monster at some point. It's on every channel. But more so than that, I think it's just the number of people playing in tournaments now. I mean, the World Series of Poker just got started. The big main event will be next month, and it sounds like they're going to cap the entries at 6,600, which is just amazing. It's more than double last year.
And when you think about when the World Series of Poker started way back when, it was like 10 people in the room.
Yes, yeah, only about 10. And they used to write the names of the entries on a big board. I imagine there's no chance of that anymore.
No way. Plus, you know, and then adding to all of this, you got to think about the internet. I mean, every day another website is popping up with, hey, we'll teach you how to play poker and then take your money too. And
yeah, if you haven't checked it out, definitely check out www.pokerpulse.com, which kind of rates the number of games that are going on at all the online sites, and it's just amazing to see how many new new sites are turning up, and the number of players and the number of games that you can get in 24 hours a day in your pajamas at home if you want to.
That's right. And you know what? Poker is not for just the old guys smoking the stogies and the cowboy hats anymore. These games are being taken over by college kids, and they are smart and they are fearless, you know, and they're the reason why this game is getting so popular. And that's another reason why I believe that it is not plateaued and the popularity is only going to grow, because these kids are young and they're going to play it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier, it's certainly not a game that you ever give up. It's not something you're going to grow out of. You're always going to play at some point. You may not play as much as you do now, but there are going to be people coming up that are going to take your place.
Right. Time and space, percussion and bass. The whole world moving at a blinding pace. Life's a card game, trying to hold an ace. See, you might get erased in this great paper chase. Time and space, percussion and bass. The whole world moving at a blinding pace. Life's a card game, trying to hold an ace. See, you might get erased in this great paper chase. Now we're going to introduce another portion of our show. It's called Hand of the Week. Scott, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure, we're going to pick one hand every week that either Chris or I played in or we watched on TV, and kind of break it down and talk about what we think about it. And I think this week, one we picked out was on the Bay 101 Shooting Stars tournament, which was on World Poker Tour on Wednesday night.
That's right.
And that was a wild final table.
Incredible.
Just so many strange beats and really gutsy plays that just turned out lucky. It was amazing.
And the hand that we're going to focus on is by a guy named Danny Wynn. I think he was the poker dealer at that.
Yeah, he's a poker dealer. He ended up winning the tournament. How? We have no idea.
We have no idea. It had to be the worst poker ever played to win a major event like that.
Absolutely. And this is a hand that happened very early on. He called a raise with 4-3 of clubs.
Right.
The flop came 2-king-ace. And, of course, the two players still in. One had a king and one had an ace.
Right.
But didn't chase him out, which was amazing. He called a $100,000 bet. And then on the turn, he led out, actually, with a $100,000 bet with nothing.
With absolutely nothing.
The only thing he could catch to win was a five. And, of course, on the river, he caught the five and took down about a $700,000 pot. But I think this is definitely something straight out of Super System. You make a big bet, semi-bluff here, looking to catch your one card. Your hope is to get everybody to fold and win the pot right there, but if not, you have the back door.
Yeah.
And he caught it here. But still, I got to think, I don't know what he was doing in after the flop.
No.
That's the big thing.
You know, they tell you to always have an out, but, I mean, that was literally four outs, and the rest of the cards give everybody else a win. And, you know, sometimes you got to have courage, but that just seemed like more of a poor play to me than a courageous play. But, yeah, that just goes to show you that anything can happen in poker, and that is pretty much why we play.
Absolutely.
So that's our Hand of the Week segment, and we're going to do that every week. And what we'd like to do is let you know that if you have any questions or comments, to be sure to email us at poker@tampabay.com. Maybe you played a hand poorly or wondered if you should have played it differently. So
just email us the details or any other questions you have, and tell us as much as you can, since poker definitely depends on the situation. I mean, there's no right play every time. And we'll see, and maybe we'll address your comment or hand on our next show.
Yeah, we'd really like to hear from you. And once again, that's poker@tampabay.com. So until next time, I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables.